Hello everyone and welcome to The Stagey Place, the podcast where we here chat to writers, directors, producers, stage managers, designers, anyone and everyone who works within the theatre industry. And on this week's episode, we have Alex Howarth, the writer and director of Cassie and the Lights, being joined by Helen Chung, who plays Tin within this production when it arrives at the Southwark Playhouse from the 3rd until the 20th of April later this year. I enjoyed this production of Cassie and the Lights when I first saw it at the Vault Festival in 2020. It was one of my favourite pieces of theatre that I saw at the Vault Festival in the many years that I went to go and see stuff in London. So please do make sure that you do manage to check this out. It's got a bit of a longer run. Plus, it's just such a joy to be able to interview people of work that I've enjoyed in previous years up until now. So I hope you're able to sit back, relax and enjoy this episode with Alex Howarth and Helen Chung. Hello, Alex, and hello, Helen. How are you both doing today?
Really well, thank you.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Thank you both so much for coming on. We were just speaking, because obviously you are both here today for Cassie and the Lights, which is coming to the Southwark Playhouse. Alex, this show, Cassie and the Lights, has had quite its journey from so many years ago. When I first saw it, actually, at the Vault Festival in 2020, I think it was. Obviously, we're talking here in 2024. You talk to me a little bit about what's going on right now within the world of Patch of Blue and how you're promoting the show.
So we're right in promo mode at the moment, which is really exciting. We've known about this for quite a while now. We've sort of had to keep a lid on it and not tell people. But now it was really lovely. The day we announced it, we had some really, really lovely messages from people who'd seen it before and some lovely sharing on the outlets and stuff. It was just a great day, and we're just trying to keep that momentum going now. We'd love to some people who've seen it before to come back again, but mostly to grab some new audiences. And we're really trying to work with the care community this time and get as many groups of care experienced people in as we can. We're really excited about, so we're sort of connecting with those at the moment, and yeah, just trying to let as many people know as possible, really.
Yeah, so Helen, you were saying before the interview as well, you were chatting to people who have currently got stuff on at the Southwark Playhouse and seeing how they're promoting their shows as well.
Yeah, it's really lovely actually to see other people's like shows that are currently on or shows that are going to be on at the same time as us. Like I was saying before, there's like a really nice like community in like off West End sort of like theatres and stuff, so it's really nice to get to know what they're doing and hopefully go and see their shows. I know Alex has seen a couple of things at the Southwark Playhouse recently, but yeah, at the moment, just to kind of latch on to what Alex was saying, just getting things out on our Instagram. We've recently updated our website and just kind of letting people who have followed us for a while, letting them know we're coming back, and also people who are new, because obviously we're bringing it to a completely new place, trying to get as many new people in and loving the show as much as the people who have maybe seen it twice before or saw it a couple of years ago. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's something that is a real challenge, is translating that, because we had a really lovely Edinburgh where people were saying really nice things and it was great, and we had lots of people in to see it, which is really lovely. But we sort of have the capacity to do a big run like this, like maybe once a year. And so keeping that hype going and translating that, those people who enjoyed it in Edinburgh, down to a much bigger venue in London is a real challenge. So we're sort of just trying to really upscale everything that we're doing in terms of marketing, and also the show. I've written some new bits for it. It's bigger than it's ever been. We've got a fantastic new set designer called Ruth, who's really kind of transforming the way it looks as well. We're referring to it as like Cassie 2.0. We're really trying to make this sort of the biggest and best it's ever been. Being somewhere like Southwark, it's so central, is such a gift, and we really, really want to make the most of it and make this the best it could be.
And obviously, like, you know, it has been at the Vault Festival, it has been at the Edinburgh Fringe, where again there's a lot of turnarounds between shows and stuff. Obviously, another point about being at the Southwark Playhouse is that you've got that space for you know, so many weeks, and that you don't have to dismantle stuff. So like you say with Ruth there, she can make a purpose-built set that doesn't then need to be dismantled every single night.
Yeah, and it just means we can be that bit more ambitious. Like we're talking about things like fitting LED lights on the floor, which is something you can never do in Edinburgh with a 10-minute turnaround. And it just allows you to be that bit more ambitious. And also it's nice for the actors, because they can come in every day and do a warm-up and just worry about what they're doing rather than humping 50 suitcases around every day, which is... which is what we were doing getting into it and before every Edinburgh show.
Yeah. So obviously, let's talk a little bit about the show then. Let's say that people are coming onto this podcast, whether or not they've seen the show before or whether or not they're coming in with fresh ears and fresh eyes wanting to come and see the show at the Southwark Playhouse. Alex, obviously, you have written the show. So talk to me a little bit about the conception behind the show. When did this all start?
So I used to work in care, specifically in care for people with disabilities. And I knew I wanted to make something about the care system. And then one day I was on the tube, picked up the metro. I can still really, really imagine this moment now. And I saw this tiny little article in the bottom of page 7 or something that was about this 17-year-old who had gone to court to get custody of her two younger siblings. All the time I've worked in care, this, I'd never thought about what happens if children lose both parents and there's a sibling. And when you're 18, it's a much more straightforward system. But anything below that, and it has to go through a really, really specific court process and all these cases, because I've then discovered that this happens a lot. They all come up against this one judge in the South and they're all being denied, being put up for foster care. And what we're trying to say in the play is that I don't think it should be a definite decision whether or not a 17-year-old can or indeed should be a parent. And that's something we explore in the play. But what I do think is wrong is that the courts have the power to prohibit contact between the siblings until the younger siblings are 18. The adoptive parents say that's what they want, then any older siblings can be prohibited contact until they're 18. And that's something we really, really wanted to raise awareness of and let people know about and start a conversation about. Because again, until I started looking into this, that's something I knew nothing about. Yeah. So the play explores that, but also it explores sisterhood and the power of family and power of what seems a non-traditional family setup and celebrating the bonds of sisterhood.
And it's got a lot of musicality to the show as well. I remember seeing it, and that was one of the things that really stood out for me. I mean, being to the Vault quite a lot of times, for just being there in that space and seeing how the stage was set up, like it was just a remarkable piece of theatre. And that's the thing, you centre really around the three sisters and the bonds that they have with each other and the playfulness that they have with each other more than anything. And I think that's the thing that people probably take away the most from the show. Helen, obviously you're in the show as well. I know we were just talking about social media, but you have been cast in the show. When you're reading this play, what is the thing that comes out and you're like, this is why I love to be a part of this company and part of this play?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful story that isn't all sad, because yeah. I think people kind of read the description, and obviously what we don't want is it to be just like 70 minutes of people thinking, oh, it's really sad and everything's really bad. Because there's so many lovely moments and so many funny moments and just lovely, lovely moments. And the music is so beautiful that I think you do leave still with a bit of hope, which I think is really lovely. And that's one of my favourite parts about the play. I think it's really hopeful. And each sister has their own journey. Obviously, they're all in the same situation together. I mean, Tin, for example, there's a lot of moments where she's also navigating her own life, you know? I mean, she's 10 and that's such a crucial moment for her in her life. And just to see those little moments throughout the play, I think shows so many other themes, as well as like the care system and stuff like that. But I just think it's such a beautiful representation of family. And I just hope that people kind of latch onto that. And I think, yeah, you do leave feeling, I mean, I cry all the time. Watching it in New York, I cried every time. But with also a feeling of joy and hope, and just, you think about your own family, which I think is nice.
Yeah, you've had a lot of response from this show as well. You know, obviously in Edinburgh, you know, you play it so many times. And Alex, you must have heard from people who've seen the show so many stories. To be able to listen to their feedback and, you know, to know, obviously, like you say, working in the care system as well, is there a bit of audience reaction that has like really stuck with you, that has kind of kept you going throughout these later stages? Like you say, you've written some new bits for this version of the show here at the Southwark Playhouse. Has that come from audience feedback and stories that you've heard from people who have watched the show?
We had a really lovely, we did it in Australia straight after Vault Festival, and we had this wonderful letter from this woman who came, I think, 3 or 4 times, who basically, this was her entire experience. She was literally at that time in the process of going to court to get custody of her siblings. Their father was not with them, and their mother was struggling with addiction and was not there for them either. And to hear her talk about how it reflected her experience and how she felt seen, and how it was a story that she hadn't seen told in you know, on television or on stage, that's why we do it. That's what keeps us going, you know. And that was really wonderful. When things get tough with doing this show, and you know, we're a very, very small company with super limited resources, it's very hard sometimes. And I do go back to that letter sometimes as a reminder of why we're doing this. And the new stuff, we've always been time constricted before, right? As you say, like, you know, this is, you know, one of the wonderful, amazing things about doing festivals is getting out there, and the exposure, an affordable way of getting your work on, and it's all brilliant. But you have to play to a time constraint, whereas now we can do whatever we want. So, like, really, I really wanted to take this opportunity to go. I went back to the court documents from the original case and really, really dove back into that, and really, really cemented a lot of things that I've been wanting to add to for a while, but we just haven't had the opportunity. So that's really exciting for me as a writer as well, to be able to go, okay, well, we're really, like, we're trying out some new stuff this time as well.
Yeah, so obviously you've spoken a little bit about the court case, spoken a little bit about some of the characters, but let's actually talk about what people are going to be walking into when they come and see Cassie and the Lights, the characters that we're going to meet and what their personalities are like with each other.
So the characters you meet on stage are the three sisters. So we have Cassie, Tin, Kit, and Helen plays Tin, and Cassie's the older sister who's 17. Tin and Kit are her younger siblings, and they will greet you. I know some people are not into immersive theatre, but only if you want to be talked to, they're there. The vibe is very much the fourth wall is dead. The whole way through, there's a real awareness that we're in a theatre, that there is a musician there, that there's somebody pressing the buttons doing the lighting. And so they sort of take you on this journey of their story, but, like, sort of as filtered through their memory. So it's not all in chronological order. Some bits are told the way they would be if a 17-year-old, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old put on a play. There's a bit that's done with puppets to tell one of their stories. And yet there is a musician and this awesome electronic live score that goes through the whole thing as well. We have our composers for Patch of Blue, Ellie and Emmy Mason, who are amazing. And they've written this beautiful score that they perform every night that sort of reflects Helen's character, Tin's love of space. So it's sort of very electronic, very kind of Stranger Things, kind of 80s vibes. Helen, do you want to tell them a bit more about Tin?
Yeah, when we performed the show before, I had the lovely experience of covering all three of the characters. So I got to see a really lovely insight into all of their, like, journeys and ideas and thoughts. But Tin loves to do the play. She, to me, is quite an optimistic and quite happy-go-lucky character, but you do see her fear of losing her siblings, or, you know, little moments of panic where she's, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone that's listening that hasn't seen it before, but, you know, you do see that more developed thinking for her, for a 10-year-old. And obviously a 10-year-old, it's such a extreme thing for them to go through. So to see her understand that as the show goes on, she loves space. She loves space. She loves telling jokes. So if you like a joke, you'll like it, hopefully. And she's just a really, really lovely, happy person. But yes, you do definitely see those little bits, little moments of her maybe understanding a little bit more, even at such a young age.
And I think that happiness is really, really important. I think seeing them together, seeing them joyful, and seeing the joy that just being together brings them is so important, because it gives you something to strive for, it gives you something to fight for. If you just saw them being miserable all the time, there wouldn't be anything to clasp onto. And to, you know, I always say when I go and see theatre, I need a big old side of joy with my sadness as well. you don't know what you're rooting for. So I think that's my favourite bits of the play are the ones where they're just sat around chatting to each other, and you just see the joy of being together.
That's kind of what I wanted to move on to a little bit, because Helen, I wanted to ask you, because obviously, so you've seen it before, obviously you've covered all three roles before, so you know these characters inside out, basically. Now you're playing Tin for this performance at the Southwark Playhouse. Is there a moment of the show that you get really excited for the audiences to experience or witness throughout the whole show?
Yeah, I think there's something for everyone in there. Like, as Alex was saying before, we do have sort of that audience interaction, which, I mean, watching the show for the first time live and everything, for me, those moments were really special. And it was nice to see other people's responses and how different people, like the different things that people come out with every single day, is just really interesting to hear. And they're really like impactful. Sometimes you have to stop and think, God, it's so different to what the person said in the matinee or in, you know, yesterday's performance. For me, again, not wanting to give too much away, but there's a lovely moment where the three sisters make one sort of like piece of music that then underscores a bit where both Tin and Kit kind of take over the play and describe all the things that they love about where they currently are. And I just think it's such a beautiful moment. And that's personally my favourite part every night. I know that'll be my favourite part to perform. But I think it's just the way that their sort of innocence and like that being what they really enjoy doing, and just the portrayal of their childhood through that is just really beautiful. And I think hopefully that'll translate really well to the audience.
That's really exciting. And obviously, Alex, we should say that this coming to the Southwark Playhouse, you're working with Three Hearts Canvas as well to help bring the show onto stage. Talk to me a little bit about what it's like working with Ollie and Megan with Three Hearts Canvas and how they are helping you to, you know, to get this on at the Southwark Playhouse.
They're just wonderful, wonderful people. And they really have just taken this show and they take such good care of it. It's wonderful. We really, really feel like we've just got two fantastic people in our corner who are advocating for us and fighting for us. It's really wonderful. This time last year, they were doing their show Smoke at Southwark Playhouse that they were producing and performing in. And so, you know, they're obviously incredible performers in their own right. So they know what it is to perform in a show at Southwark. And whilst producing a show at Southwark, and we met at Edinburgh last year, and just straight away, I just got the most wonderful vibe from them. And basically ever since then, they've been working and advocating for this show. And it allows, because up until now, it's been me doing the large sort of bulk of everything. And it really is, they're a gift because they're allowing me to focus sort of back more on my writing, my directing, and not have to stress so much about all the logistics, which is just a gift and what I needed to be able to realize this at a bigger level that we were talking about. So yeah, they're a joy to work with, and I'm super excited to work with them more closely as we get towards the show.
Well, Alex, I want to ask you one final question about the show before we move over to the final question of the podcast. Obviously, you've had so many responses through so many people who have come to see the show. Like you say, you've gone back to the letter, you know, when you're really thinking about why you're doing this show and why you put all your heart and soul into it. Like you say, you do a lot of the bulk before Three Hearts Canvas came on board for this. When people have left the show and they've experienced Cassie and the Lights, what do you want them to take away from it?
I want them to really, really think about this question of, can and should a 17-year-old be a parent, right? And that for me, the answer is very much yes, is very much, it is down to personal circumstance. And this is why I was saying before that it seems like the courts have already made their mind up, right? And that's something we actually say, and that whatever you think about it, and we do ask the audience this question during the show, and as Helen said, we get very different responses every night, but whatever you think about it, you've taken an hour and a quarter to explore this and sit with these characters and be in a room with people who are experiencing this. And also, as I say, to really think about this idea that siblings can be split up by courts. You know, for the character of Kit, she's seven, so it could be 11 years before she's allowed to see a sister again if they're adopted, which just seems absolutely crazy to me. And I really want people to think about that and how they feel about that, and if it's something they believe is wrong, that they can stand up and do something about it, and all of that, but also experience something that is really joyful and really playful and really fun and funny, hopefully, and that they have a great night out and a great night of entertainment. So just that.
Well, Helen, Alex, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Cassie and the Lights. It is on at the Southwark Playhouse this April from the 3rd until the 20th. I really hope people who are listening manage to get their tickets, whether or not they've seen the show before or have never seen the show and want to come and see it. It's truly a wonderful piece of theatre that I actually, you know, would say is probably one of the best pieces of theatre that I've seen at the Vault Festival. And I go every year. Like, it's just the most wonderful piece of theatre. Alex and Helen, before I let you go, I've got one final question for you. It's the question that we ask everybody who comes onto the podcast. It's the title of the podcast. That's The Stagey Place. And what I love to ask all of my guests is where their stagey place is. So we've kind of been a little bit loose on the question since the podcast started. So this could be a physical place, a physical venue, maybe, that you've enjoyed a piece of theatre or has inspired you maybe to get into the industry. It could be one of the venues that Cassian Alliance has been on before. So it could be the Vault Festival. It could be, you know, over in New York, or it could be here now at the Southwark Playhouse. Or it could be a person who has inspired you, whether or not that was a teacher that you had when you were growing up, who was like, keep going into the arts and do this as a career, or just a writer or a performer who has inspired you to be in the theatre industry. So Alex and Helen, I'll ask you separately. Alex will go for you first, if that's okay. Whereabouts is your stagey place?
Edinburgh Fringe. Every time, I think until then, like, I'm from a little town called Southport in the north. Like, if it wasn't on at the Empire in Liverpool, I hadn't seen it until I had the opportunity to go to Edinburgh when I was at uni. I just like tagged along with some friends, and it literally just in a week just opened up the world of theatre, like, in front of my eyes. Like, I saw things I had no idea that you could do that and call it theatre and would come under the same umbrella. And it's just this incredible world just opened up in front of my eyes. Specifically, my favourite company, Little Bulb, the first time I ever went to Edinburgh, I saw their show, Crocosmia, which just changed my view of what theatre could be and just totally opened it up in front of me. And I think I have Edinburgh to thank for a whole lot, basically my entire career, but specifically for just changing my whole world view of what theatre could be. That it can be anything.
When I first went up to Edinburgh, it was 2015. I was first time going up, first time taking a show up, like producing it and writing it and stuff. And I just did not know what to expect at all. Nobody does. And I say that to everyone. I'm like, brace yourselves. Obviously, you know, everybody can watch the YouTube videos and clips and stuff of how to do Edinburgh. But it was just the most incredible experience. And, you know, like you say, when you're from small towns, you don't really know, you know, what to expect, how big festivals are, what a festival really is, a theatre festival, an arts festival. And it just takes over the whole city. And it's just like another world, another planet. It is phenomenal. So Helen, for you, you've had some time to think. Whereabouts is your stagey place?
There's just so many amazing, like, places. But I think, again, like, I mean, I'm from Newcastle, so I'm from the north. And similar to Alex, like, I think growing up, it was tricky because I think people always thought, oh, you only see theatre in London, you know, that's all you can ever see theatre. But my mum took me and my sister to see a ballet at the Theatre Royal in Newcastle. And that was the first time I'd ever seen anything at the theatre. And I just have this one memory where it was the interval and I said to my mom, and I was really confused, and I was like, why is no one talking to anyone? Have they all lost their voices? I didn't understand because I didn't realize people don't talk to each other in a ballet. But I just always remember that, and my mom laughing at me and having to explain to me. But just like even walking into that theater and seeing how beautiful it was and being able to experience that for the first time, like, it just always sticks out in my memory. And it's such a beautiful place, and there's some amazing venues now up north, and little theatres and big theatres, and so many amazing companies that people don't really see as much of, but hopefully they'll get more exposure, because I think there's some lovely venues and companies, like Alex was saying, that I think have such special pieces of work on at the moment.
A lot of people do go back to those first moments, whether or not it's the first theatre, or, you know, the first teachers that inspired them and stuff. It's such a lovely question to ask, because everyone just has such a different approach to it. And especially when, you know, we get guests on from all over the country who are able to say something, and it's just wonderful. Alex and Helen, thank you both so much for coming onto the Stagey Place. Once again, we have been talking about Cassian the Lights, which is at the Southwark Playhouse from the 3rd into the 20th of April. If anybody wants to get their tickets, they'll be in the episode notes to wherever anybody is listening to this podcast. Please do go and book your tickets. It is a wonderful performance. Helen and Alex, thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there we go, that was episode 138 of The Stagey Place with our interviewees today, Alex Howarth and Helen Chung. Alex is the writer and director of Cassian the Lights, and Helen, as you found out in that interview there, will be playing the role of Tin in this production when it comes to the Southwark Playhouse from the 3rd until the 20th of April. I hope you got a little bit of a taste there as to what to expect if you are heading down to the Southwark Playhouse to see the show. As I said in the intro, I really do urge everyone to at least check out this show as it heads to the Southwark Playhouse. It's one of my favourite pieces of theatre that I've seen within the Fringe Theatre Festival scene. As I mentioned at the top of this episode as well, if you would like to book your tickets for Cassie and the Lights, you can do so via the hyperlink which is in our episode notes wherever you are listening to this episode of The Staging Place. And so that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Join us next week when we'll have Sarah Cameron West coming on to talk about Karen, which is having its preview run at the Other Palace in London before then heading up to Edinburgh later this year for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. But until then, my name's been Elliot. You've been listening to The Stagey Place. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I hope you're keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.